Four Midwest Guys presents...
My fellow movie bros, and welcome back to Tailgate Award Bait Party. I'm your host, the Oscar Bro, and we are down to the wire with the Academy Award nominations. I spent the last couple days in some intense weight training, and now I'm good about flexing my predicting muscles. I'm jacked right now, I'm ready, so let's get down to business. This show is extra special because, as I still consider myself in training, I'm recording this show live from my gym. This way, I can analyze all my problem areas best because I'm still trying to wrap my head around all those curveballs thrown at us this past week from the Precursor Awards, and I'll get to those as the show goes on. In order to analyze these areas properly, I'm using the pyramid approach. That's right, level 1 or our max weight. These are our surefire bets, names you can expect to see nominated and will be the biggest shockers if they aren't. Level 2 are interval weights. These are likely bets to fill in the other open slots, but could fall victims to the other bro tenders and bro tension. And level 3 is our less weight, more reps. The ones that seem out of bro tension right now, but they could pull off those surprise upsets. Let's get started, let's kick things off, let's go right to our first category, which is Best Supporting Actress. So we're gonna start with our max weight, our most surefire contenders, and they are Alicia Vikander and Ex Machina, Jennifer Jason Leigh, The Hateful Eight, and Kate Winslet for Steve Jobs. Throw an extra weapon there for you, Kate. Now, that's our top three contenders, so we still got two more slots to fill, and most likely, if the Weinstein Company decides to... So that still leaves us with two more open slots. Now, the first slot... If the Weinstein Company decides to do a strong push in the supporting actress category, could find Rooney Mara in there from Carol. If voters decide that she is cut for supporting, even though a lot of people believe she is clearly the lead actress of the film Carol. And if that's the case, then we could see Rachel McAdams from Spotlight ride the crest from the Spotlight Love Fest that's gonna happen and see herself as an acting nominee from the film. Now we're still in level 2, and neither Rooney or Rachel could fall victim to these other two ladies, and that would be Helen Mirren and Trumbo. Helen Mirren has been doing very good in the precursor categories. She's gotten a Golden Globe nomination, she got a Screen Actors Guild nomination, she could very well see herself in contention this year. However, a lot of people thought her role was kind of basic, so she may fall victim, but if she's got enough support, which it's Helen Mirren, how could she not? She could find herself a nominee as well. However, Alicia Vikander could also see herself up for the Danish Girl if voters decide to go for her in this category instead of for Ex Machina. If Ex Machina rides a really strong crest wave into Best Picture, then Alicia Vikander will see her nominated for Ex Machina. And if we see her nominated for the Danish Girl, then the chances of Ex Machina getting a Best Picture nomination decrease so much. However, we'll save that category for another time. That comes last, dear friends. And we still have our level 3 contenders and supporting actress. Now, we've already covered the 7 pretty strongest contenders out there, and there aren't a heck of a lot more, but we do have Jane Fonda in Youth. If she has enough support within her community, and the film still has enough support, she may find herself in as well, but don't hold your breath, fellow bros. Same with Kristen Stewart for Clouds of Silas Marie. She's gotten a lot of great reviews, but has failed to get any nominations, so she is as dark a horse a candidate as you can get. If we're gonna throw in some other possibilities, might as well throw in Joan Allen for Room, because Room is getting an incredible amount of support right now, because easily find itself in other categories, which I will cover later. But if the movie's got so much support and want to nominate further, we could see Joan Allen get a nomination. And that covers our Best Supporting Actors. Moving on to Best Supporting Actor. We have pretty much two strong candidates at this point. So, our max weight are Sylvester Stallone for Creed, Mark Rylance and Bridge of Spies. Of course, those are our two strongest candidates. As far as the other three slots go, this has been one of the craziest races to follow this year. Now, a lot of people thought Stallone was out of the race because he didn't get a Screen Actors Guild nomination. However, You cannot deny that standing ovation at the Golden Globes, my friends. So, I pretty much think that he might have his first Oscar wrapped up in the bag. Mark Rylance has a great chance to get in as well if Bridge of Spies continues its forward momentum. Now for our other bros, we gotta go with maybe our youngest bro on the list here. This category has been pretty awesome to some young actors as of late. If their movies get in for Best Picture, they usually get nominated for Supporting Actor as well, such as when Justin Henry was 7 years old when he was in the movie Kramer vs. Kramer. Also, we have Haley Joel Osment from The Sixth Sense, gathering his first Oscar nomination as well. So, if Room, like I mentioned before with Joan Allen in Supporting Actress, if Room continues to see a lot of support on Oscar night, Mr. Jacob Tremblay could find himself a Best Supporting Actor nominee. And speaking of people riding the crest wave of the popularity of their film, we got Tom Hardy from The Revenant. Now, Tom Hardy could find himself in two Best Picture nominees this year, and not just The Revenant, but as the lead man in Mad Max Fury Road. Now, he wasn't quite as prominent in Mad Max Fury Road, but he did get to impress a lot of people in The Revenant. And if The Revenant's going to continue its momentum this year, then Tom Hardy might find himself in as well. And he's going to be my lock as well. And our fifth slot is going to be an all-out war between General Zod and the Hulk, as Mark Ruffalo hopes to get a nomination for Spotlight, and also Michael Shannon hopes to get a nod for 99 Homes. 99 Homes was barely made a blip on the radar. However, Mr. Shannon has been given a lot of campaign and a lot of press, and he's getting a lot of recognition for his role, and the company that's promoted the film is doing everything they can to get more recognition, so it could find itself in contention. However, if the Spotlight momentum continues, and if Rachel McAdams gets a nomination for Supporting Actress, don't be shocked if Mr. Mark Ruffalo gets a nomination for Supporting Actor as well, and he is actually my fifth chance. But some of our other Dark Horse candidates, we can't count out. We can also see Michael Keaton from Spotlight, who may have some support because he lost the Best Action last year. We have Paul Dano, who's an up-and-coming actor, and this would be a great opportunity to nominate him for a good performance. You also have Idris Elba, who's been building a lot of great momentum as of late and a huge fan base. And if Beasts of No Nation continues to get any kind of support, it's going to be in this category. And of course, we have Batman himself, Christian Bale, for The Big Short, who his movie has been getting a lot of support lately, and not only did he get a Best Actor in a Comedy nomination from the Golden Globes, but he actually got a Best Supporting Actor nomination from the Screen Actors Guild, so he cannot be counted out, my friends. Moving on to Best Actress, we have two top contenders, and they are Brie Larson, Room, Saoirse Ronan, Brooklyn. I'm just going to throw a third rep in there because I feel like it. Yeah. Now, those two are surefire bets. And Miss Kate Blanchett herself is definitely going to be a strong lock for your third position, leaving us with two other open slots. Anyone that's seen Carol could tell you it's essentially Rooney Mara's film. So, a lot of people could feel that she deserves a lead actress nomination instead of a supporting actress nomination. But again, if the Weinstein Company continues to support her for supporting actress, then that's where she'll find her nomination. However, if the movie does have a tremendous amount of support and gets the right amount of voters' attention, we could see her in the lead actress category. Which spells bad news for the people vying for the fifth slot of the group, which is Jennifer Lawrence for Joy. Now, I counted her out in the Golden Globes, but when she pulled off that win, even though people weren't fans of the film, they could probably see her as another nominee here, whether or not they like the film. But that hasn't happened a lot lately, so she's not as strong of a lock in this category as she used to be. So that slot could also go to the veteran darling, Charlotte Rampling, for the movie 45 Years, which has been performing excellent with a lot of the critics and the voters, so she could find herself a nominee there as well. However, the same that holds true for Rooney Mara and Carol also could hold true for Alicia Vikander in The Danish Girl. Essentially, she's being promoted as a supporting actress nominee, even though she's very clearly the lead actress in the film. So if the movie gets strong support and the voters want to see the right person nominated in the right category, then Alicia Vikander could find herself a nominee here, but it's such a tight race, my friends, so The Danish Girl will probably have to get a lot more support than it has had going in. And speaking of movies that have had a tremendous amount of support going in, all that love for Mad Max Fury Road might trickle down to Miss Charlize Theron, which would be an awesome nomination in my book. It would be like seeing Sigourney Weaver nominated for Aliens back in 1986. Great nominee, by the way. But I don't see that happening too much here. so she might have to settle for being that lovable long shot. Now, as we move on to Best Actor, I'm going to have to adjust my pyramid somewhat, because there's not three stages, there is now four stages. And right there at the top, we're going to have only one, and that is the bro icon himself, Leonardo DiCaprio for The Revenant! And our other two strong candidates are Michael Fassbender and Steve Jobs, and Eddie Redmayne and the Danish Girl! Yeah! So if those are our top three candidates right there, then who's going to take up our other two slots? Well, The Martian has been performing incredible with amongst its nominees, and seeing as how it's essentially a one-person piece, for about half the film, Matt Damon, much like Tom Hanks in Castaway, and James Franco in 127 Hours, could find himself a nominee in this category as well. So our fifth slot, who's that going to go to? Well, other people in contention are Will Smith in Concussion, Johnny Depp for Black Mass, Michael Caine in Youth, but I think the fifth slot's going to go to the movie that could potentially be an upsetter, and that is for Mr. Walter White himself, Bryan Cranston in Trumbo. But again, that's the fifth slot, and any crazy thing can happen. But the craziest thing is if we don't see Mr. Leonardo DiCaprio's name on that list, fellow bros. Now, just for fun, we all talk about the actors, we all talk about the screenplays, the directors, the pictures. Directors and pictures going to come a little later in the show, but I'm always a technical category man myself. So, as much as I would love to analyze all the nominees, I don't feel like boring all my fellow bros out there right now. If you want to hear more from me, I'll be glad to tell you, but I'll just say this, there's only two movies that you're going to see multiple times in the tech categories, and that is The Martian and Mad Max Fury Road, bros. That's right, those two could be our biggest nominees of the year. That said, let's look at a category that has actually given us finalists this year, and that is Best Visual Effects. Now, in the past, I've always had a rule that if your movie gets up for Best Picture and you find yourself a Best Visual Effects nominee, then you are taking home that award. That is how Hugo won Best Visual Effects back in 2011 against other heavy hitters like Harry Potter and The Deathly Hallows Part 2 and The Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I was probably the only one not shocked because there has not been a single Best Picture nominee that has lost Best Visual Effects since 1970, and that was Patton, my friends, and it lost to another World War II film of Tora, Tora, Tora. Oh, what am I thinking? It's time for another rep. These are my three strongest bets for Best Visual Effects. We have Mad Max Fury Road, The Martian. Those are our two strongest supporters in visual effects. Now, Star Wars The Force Awakens. How can we not talk about that movie at least once this year? As I'm pretty sure anyone that's followed any four Midwest shows knows, we've talked about it to some extent. And just yesterday, the Visual Effects Society has nominated The Force Awakens more times than any other film there, so it's definitely going to be one of those movies that is looking the best for visual effects this year. But its Best Picture status, however, is in question thanks to some other very strong contenders. And again, we'll get to that category at the end, fellow bros. But I don't think we could count it out for visual effects. As far as the other seven finalists, we have Ant-Man, Avengers Age of Ultron, Ex Machina, Jurassic World, The Revenant, Tomorrowland, and The Walk. The Walk did not make a lot of money, but it was a beautiful spectacle to behold in 3D. And that's how I think we're about to end. It's probably the 10th on my list. Tomorrowland, again, beautiful looking film. Great looking effects. Reviews weren't that great. Wasn't the greatest film. Didn't do so hot at the box office. So, yeah, it's out. And then we have Ant-Man, which actually kind of surprised people by being a very enjoyable summer film. However, because of the other contenders this year, may find itself a little too small, and as the bro says, go big or go home! So that leaves our other four contenders, Age of Ultron, Jurassic World, Ex Machina, and The Revenant. We all know The Revenant has got an incredibly strong chance for a Best Picture nomination, so could see itself in the fourth slot for Best Visual Effects. I'm thinking that's a pretty solid call, especially with that bear attack, yo! Our fifth nominee is gonna go to the massive Jurassic World. Is it going to go to the massive Age of Ultron? Or is it going to go to the very calm and technical Ex Machina? That actually is an interesting thought. I think Ex Machina, if it has enough support, if we see it up for Best Original Screenplay, and Alicia Vikander for Supporting Actress, and if we see it up for Best Picture, then I wouldn't be surprised if it was nominated for Best Visual Effects. However, it could pull a Tree of Life and find itself not amongst the contenders as well, in which case, I give the edge a little bit to Age of Ultron. I gotta say, fella bros, between you and me, effects-wise, looking at Jurassic World, they had some great-looking animatronics right there. Why the hell do you go over and put CGI over it? What was up with that? If anything, that should be a count against its visual effects. Took me a bit out of the film. I enjoyed the Stan Winston models from the first one. That's kind of what holds a place in my heart. But my fifth slot is still going to go to Ex Machina. Moving on to Best Director. Our three surefire contenders this year are Ridley Scott for The Martian, Alejandro G. Iñárritu for The Revenant, George Miller, Mad Max Fury Road. Any one of those three are our strongest bets right now. They've received Directors Guild nominations, Golden Globe nominations, and all their movies have been featured in nearly every precursor out there at every guild. So any one of those three don't make the list, that is going to be a humongous shock and a humongous detriment to its chances at Best Picture. So George Miller, as much as I love you and as much as I love Fury Road, I could see the Academy passing you over, but I hope to God they don't, and it doesn't look like it at this point. So, as far as our other two contenders, we have Tom McCarthy in Spotlight. He also picked up a Directors Guild nominee and has also been a Golden Globe nominee as well. And Spotlight, though it has not been winning as much, could find itself in this category as well. So, that leaves our fifth slot. It could go to the fifth nominee of the Golden Globes, which was Todd Haynes for Carol, but Mr. Haynes missed out on the Directors Guild nomination, and that fifth slot went to Adam McKay for The Big Short. It could be either one of those two, but your bro is going to go on a strange limb out there and think that the overwhelming support for Room is going to pick up and Mr. Lenny Abrahamson is going to get that fifth slot. But don't count out other films, such as the living legend himself, Steven Spielberg, getting some great reviews for his film Bridge of Spies, or you also have Quentin Tarantino in The Hateful Eight if the movie pulls off a gigantic comeback. And of course, as we've been talking about on this show, if Ex Machina continues its crest of support and Alex Garfield can find himself a Best Director nominee, I'm still going with Lenny Abrahamson for Room. Which brings us to our big one of the night, Best Picture. Gotta get my stance here to get my final rep on here. We have The Revenant, The Martian, Mad Max Fury Road, and Spotlight. Those four are the strongest going into tomorrow morning, and if anything doesn't make the list from those four, it is going to be one hell of a shocker, bros. You watch. Now, as far as our intervals, our level twos, of course, I've been saying it the whole time, Room's got a lot of support. I think it's in here. We also have Bridge of Spies. It's got a really good chance. However, hasn't gotten a Best Picture nomination at the Golden Globes and didn't get an ensemble nomination at the Screen Actors Guild, so support for it might be a little wavering. Ditto with Carol, which unfortunately saw its movie go home with absolutely no awards from the Golden Globes, but there's still strong support for it, and I see Carol getting a Best Picture nomination. Of course, we've also been talking about the building support for Ex Machina, and it could find itself in contention as well, so it's still my interval pick. We also have The Big Short. I don't see Adam McKay getting a Best Director nomination, but again, wouldn't be surprised because he got that Directors Guild nom, but he could sneak in here, making The Big Short our ninth nominee for Best Picture. Now, there's between 5 to 10 slots, and with all the movies up this year, we could see 10 nominees because listen to all these other movies vying for the 10th place. We have Sicario, the movie that's been building up a ton of momentum, getting a Writers Guild nomination, American Society of Cinematographers nominations for the man himself, Roger Deakins. We also have Straight Outta Compton, which got not only a Writers Guild nomination, but a Producers Guild nomination. Wait, also Sicario got a Producers Guild nomination too, so there's another one right there. Sicario, Straight Outta Compton, two really heavy hitters that you cannot count out. And then you have the movie Trumbo, which is a movie about filmmakers that other filmmakers are probably going to love. It's old Hollywood, which may appeal to some of the other voters, so it might have a really strong support base. Ditto for the movie Brooklyn with Saoirse Ronan. Now, it's an elegant love story. It's your old kind of passion tale that the older voters love, and it's got a really passionate following behind it too, so I wouldn't be surprised if it made it in as well. Then you have some of the other films. You have Steve Jobs, which started off really strong early in the season, but hasn't been holding the momentum the way it used to until the Golden Globes happened and snuck two awards away for Best Screenplay and for Kate. So it could find itself as another contender as well, if support continues to hold. But you also cannot count out the man himself, Mr. Quentin Tarantino, and his wonderfully received The Hateful Eight, which, strangely enough, hasn't been picking up momentum the way it is movies like Django Unchained or The Inglourious Basterds has. But of course, the other Dark Horse candidate that we cannot count out. That's right, the highest grossing domestic film of all time, $812 million domestic box office, $1.7 billion worldwide, the juggernaut that is Star Wars The Force Awakens, which, when it opened, the Broadcast Film Critics Awards actually decided to give it an 11th slot for Best Picture, but support for it hasn't been as strong as of late. It didn't get the Producers Guild nomination, didn't get a Writers Guild or Directors Guild nomination. So, is support for it wavering? Well, if it's going to be seen for anything outside of visual effects, might be other technical categories, but Best Picture at this point, with such a strong list of contenders, may find itself coming up a little short, much like its predecessor, The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. There you have it, folks. That is the Oscar Bros routine. Those are his picks for the Oscar nominations on Thursday. I guess at this point, all we can do now is just sit and wait, because as it's out there, we'll see how well the bro did, and you can see them announced Thursday morning and see how well I did. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until then, the Brocony is closed.